used prayer to move mountains in your life or someone else's life, we would love to hear about it. So please come and talk to us. If you've got like a prayer story, we would love to hear it. We would love to hear about how prayer is impacting your life. And we really hope that God is moving you to pray. So please continue to pray for our church, pray for our community during this series. Please continue to use the prayer wall for the remainder of this series. A few weeks ago, we did a couple of exercises where we came up and put prayer requests on the wall. The next week, we came and took prayer requests off, and we took them home with us to pray over. If you have a prayer request, or if God is moving you to maybe pray about another prayer request, please, during invitation, please feel free to come forward and make use of our prayer wall. But more than anything, we want you to be excited about your relationship with Jesus Christ and excited about prayer. And being in a series about prayer, it's only natural that we talk about the entertainment industry, right? I mean, that makes sense. The entertainment industry works really hard to put out a variety of movies. Some movies are just goofy and they're hilarious. Some movies are really scary and they're just really, really freaky. Some movies are really action-packed, and some movies should just have never been made. I mean, do we really need 8 Fast and Furious movies? No! Do we really need 5 Pirates of the Caribbean movies? I mean, the first one was really great, but they just get progressively worse as time goes on. So much so that I naturally own all 5 of them. I'll let you borrow some of them sometime. But sometimes we get a rare gem of a movie, the type of movie that inspires us and challenges us, and it makes us think about who we are as people, movies that are about personal transformation. And a really good example of this is the movie Secondhand Lions that came out a handful of years ago. It's about a coming-of-age young man, and it's a salute to the odd ways in which eccentric individuals can inspire us to turn our lives around and become all that we were meant to be. Another good movie about transformation, it's more of a guy movie. Maybe some of you have seen it. It's the movie The Last Samurai. It's about an American military veteran who goes to Japan to train fighters and ends up experiencing an inner transformation after he experiences the samurai way. But another really good, inspiring movie, I would say that this is probably the most inspiring movie of my lifetime. It's one of my favorite movies. Maybe you guys will agree. It's the movie Groundhog Day. With all seriousness, this seriously is one of my favorite movies. It's a romantic comedy about a self-centered TV weatherman who keeps re-experiencing his least favorite day over and over and over and over again until he gets his relationships right. One of the catchphrases for this movie is, "Change is hard when habits are strong." But like we said earlier in this series, sometimes we think prayer doesn't really do much of anything. But as we live out a lifestyle of relational prayer with faith, not hindered by sin, powerful things happen, and something begins to happen inside of us. In August of 1986, Bruce Hornsby and The Range released their hit single, "The Way It Is." Maybe you guys have heard it. It's a song that always sticks in my mind because it's got this really catchy piano part to it. And it's just a very well-written song. But the song lyrics in particular talk exclusively about themes that revolve around the civil rights movement and how some people will always have the same mindset. And sometimes we get stuck in a mindset. I mean, for the song says, "That's just the way it is. Some things will never change." But my question is that the way it has to be? Is that the way it has to be? I mean, we say things like, "Man, people just never change." Or we say something like, "Well, that's the way they've always been. That's the way they're always going to be." But is that the way that it has to be? Is that the way it has to be? When Jesus heard that his friend Lazarus was dying, He waited to go and see him. He arrived after Lazarus had died, and many people were mourning the loss of their friend Lazarus. I mean, Jesus himself was extremely emotional and asked to be taken to the tomb where Lazarus was being held. And before the tomb, Jesus stopped and he prayed. And we have an account of that in John 11 where it says, "So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, 'Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of these people standing here so that they will believe you sent me.' Then Jesus shouted, 'Lazarus, come out.' And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. And Jesus told him, 'Unwrap him and let him go.'" He prayed that the people would believe him. Did the Father answer his prayer? Was anybody changed as a result of Jesus' prayer? I mean, we know that the Pharisees were there. The Pharisees were standing there as Jesus was praying and as Lazarus comes out of the tomb. And we know that they didn't change, at least not then, because these very same men that were standing there who heard this prayer were later the ones that had him crucified. But did anyone else change? I mean, I have to believe that the Father answered Jesus' prayer, that someone was changed by this personal encounter with Jesus. If nothing else, Lazarus and his sisters were changed. But what about the time when Joshua fought the Amorites? I mean, in the Old Testament, we see many people groups who have the term "ite" after their name. I mean, there's lots of "ites" in the Bible. Lots of Amorites, Amalekites, Jebusites. And all of these Amorite groups had banded together, and they joined together to attack Israel's ally, the Gibeonites, another group of ites. And so Joshua prays this powerful prayer, and we have that in chapter 10 of the book of Joshua, where it says, "On the day the Lord gave the Israelites victory over the Amorites, Joshua prayed to the Lord in front of all the people of Israel. He said, 'Let the sun stand still over Gibeon and the moon over the valley of Ajalon.' So the sun stood still and the moon stayed in place until the nation of Israel had defeated its enemies. Is this event not recorded in the book of Jasher? The sun stayed in the middle of the sky and it did not set as on a normal day. There has never been a day like this one before or since when the Lord answered such a prayer. Surely the Lord fought for Israel that day." Do you think people were changed? Do you think anyone who witnessed this event, who knew about Joshua's prayer and actually witnessed the sun standing still, do you think they were changed? I mean, how could they not be? I mean, they encountered God. I mean, how often does God change the movement of the entire solar system to accommodate a prayer? The earth stopped revolving around the sun. The earth stopped rotating on its axis. I mean, how powerful is that, that God would do something like that? And how could people not be changed as a result? But there's one time in particular where we can see an actual change when something happened, and that's when Moses prayed. Well, he didn't exactly pray the way that we would understand prayer today, but he did talk to God. And if prayer is a conversational relationship with God, that's what Moses did. And when Moses prayed, things changed. In Exodus 33, Moses is up on top of Mount Sinai talking to God. And God is telling Moses that he's going to go with Israel. He's like, "Hey, you guys are going to go over here, but don't worry, I'm going to go with you and I'll be with you the entire time." And then Moses is like, "You know, God, if you're not going to come with us, we don't want to leave. We don't want to go anywhere if you're not going to come with us." And then God, again, reassures Moses. He said, "Moses, I'm coming with you. Everything's going to be all right." And this is what Moses says next. Moses responded, "Then show me your glorious presence." In some translations, it says, "Lord, show me your glory." And the Lord replied, "I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will call out my name Yahweh before you. For I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. But you may not look directly at my face, for no one may see me and live." The Lord continued, "Look, stand near me on this rock. As my glorious presence passes by, I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and let you see me from behind, but my face will not be seen." And it's unfortunate that we can't see God face to face. And it's because God is so holy and we are so unholy. But Moses has a direct encounter with God, one not heard of since the time of Adam and Eve. And if you think about it, and as you've read through Scripture, how often do we see God physically walking with someone? And what happens between God and Moses here in this part of Scripture hasn't happened since the times of Adam and Eve. And Moses stayed on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, continually conversing with God, continually talking with God. And when he came down, something very interesting happened. And we see that in the next chapter where it says, "When Moses came down from Mount Sinai carrying the two stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant, a.k.a. the Ten Commandments, he wasn't aware that his face had become radiant because he had spoken to the Lord." And so Scripture describes Moses' face as having this radiant glow about it. And it was so radiant that he had to wear a veil. And he could only take it off when he went to go back and talk to the Lord. And when he got done talking to the Lord, he had to put the veil back on because his face was so radiant and glowing that it freaked the Israelites out. They're like, "Whoa, Moses, your face is glowing. That's crazy. You got to put something over your face because that's just freaking us out." And so Moses changed when he encountered God and when he interacted with God. Moses was changed when he prayed. Well, why? Why was Moses so changed? And it's because prayer is transforming. Prayer is transforming. It's like a caterpillar. One of nature's best examples of transformation. A caterpillar starts off its life in a very humble way. And if you think about it, caterpillars are just really neat creatures. But what makes a caterpillar so neat isn't because of what it is. A caterpillar is so neat because of what it can become. A caterpillar starts off its life very humble. And if it stays the same, that's all it will ever be, just a caterpillar. But a caterpillar is meant to be so much more. And in order to realize its destiny, a caterpillar has to undergo a transformation. And upon completing this transformation, a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. And it starts off its life like this. And then after it undergoes its transformation, it becomes one of God's most beautiful creations. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." And like the caterpillar, we too, if we are in Jesus Christ, have become transformed into new creations. But the thing is, we are called to continuous transformation. Romans 8:29 says, "For those God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." And Philippians 2 says, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." We are called to a continuous transformation. And you need to know that prayer is transforming because God desires to change you through your prayers. Praying for transformation is good, but I'm not talking about that exactly. I'm not talking about getting down on our knees and praying and asking God to transform us. I mean, we've talked about prayers of petition, about asking God for things for ourselves. We've talked about prayers of intercession, which means praying for things on behalf of someone else. But the kind of transformation that I'm talking about is the kind of transformation that comes as a result of being in prayer. Just like Moses, it comes as a result of being in a continuous interaction with our Lord. A transformation that comes naturally, if that's what we're doing. When we encounter God in a prayer relationship, our lives stop being hindered by sin. We develop more faith and trust. Powerful things begin to happen. Our lifestyle changes. And we look back on the person that we used to be and we say, wow, look at what God has done in my life. I mean, I'm the same person, but I'm not. I mean, I have the same personality, but I'm different. It's like being Keith 2.0 or being Doug 2.0 or Mel 2.0. I had to pick on you two guys. I'm happier. I have more joy. I respond with grace more in tough situations. I'm kinder. I have more patience. And I'm just better at this whole life thing. I'm better at living life than I was before. And when troubled times come, I'm calmer. And I know and have confidence that there is a light at the end of the tunnel because I know that my Lord is using this circumstance to transform me into something better. Life is still life. But I'm better equipped to handle it as a result. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." But this is Jesus talking. He says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And that doesn't mean life is going to be all sunshine and daisies. But we can still have life and have it abundantly if we are being continuously transformed and renewed in the image of our God. God desires to change you through your prayers. And just like how the caterpillar can only fulfill its destiny through transformation, so it is with us. Because we were meant to be so much more. But in order for you to experience transformation, you have to be willing to be transformed. I mean, the caterpillar can be changed through transformation by instinct. I mean, the caterpillar just knows, at this time of my life, I got to go crawl up on a tree, form a cocoon, and I will transform and I'll emerge as a butterfly. But we actually have to make that choice. You can't be transformed if you're straddling the fence. You can't be transformed if you're only half willing to do things God's way. We have to be all in. We have to be completely willing to do things God's way. To illustrate this, I heard a story one time that a preacher gave, and so I'm stealing it, and I'm using it here in this sermon today. But he talks about a man who was walking in a vast, green, beautiful field. And off in the distance, there's this picket fence that divides it from the next field. And as he's strolling along, he walks closer to the fence, and he walks over, and he sees the grass is green on the other side. I'd kind of like to go and get a closer look. And so the closer he looks, he notices that there's a figure standing on the other side of the fence, just standing there watching him. And as he gets closer, he realizes that that person is actually Satan, standing there watching him from the other side of the fence. And he decides, you know what, I'm gonna have some fun. I'm going to poke fun at Satan. I bet that works out really well. And so he starts poking fun at the devil, and the devil just watches him. Doesn't react, doesn't do anything, just watches him. He's like, oh, I gotta get Satan's goat. So he goes and he gets right up to the fence and he's like nose to nose almost with Satan. And he's making fun of him and poking all the fun that he wants. And he's like, man, this isn't working. I gotta take it up a notch. You know what? I'm gonna climb up on the fence. And as I climb up on the fence, that's really going to make him mad. I bet he's going to get upset. So he starts to climb up on the fence, and the second his foot leaves the ground, Satan reaches up and grabs him and pulls him down on his side of the fence. And the guy is looking up at the devil from his back, and he's like, what's going on? I mean, you weren't supposed to do that. How could you do that? I was on my side of the fence. And what Satan says to him in that moment, he says, yes, but what you didn't know is that I own the fence. We can't be transformed if we're straddling the fence. And we can't be transformed if we're only half willing to do things God's way. Romans 12:2 says, "Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." There are a lot of behaviors and customs of this world that we are just so reluctant to give up. It's like, hey, I like this. I don't want to give that up. God, I don't want you to have that. I'm kind of enjoying this thing for the moment. But remember the teddy bear analogy. What are we holding on to that is preventing us from receiving God's best? God wants to transform us by changing the way we think. God wants us to see the world as He sees it. God wants us to look through the lenses that He sees the world through. I mean, He's the Creator after all. He designed it. He made it. Don't you think it would be wise to view things the way that He views them instead of our way? For example, have you ever read the Ten Commandments and noticed that there's like a division about partway through the Ten Commandments? Have you noticed that? I mean, the first four commandments are concerned with honoring God, and then the next six are concerned with honoring others. So let's kind of go through those briefly. The first commandment, number one, you will have no other gods before me. Number two, you will not make an idol of anything. Number three, you will not misuse my name. Number four, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Number four is kind of an interesting commandment because it works both ways. It's both about honoring God and honoring others because God gave that as a gift to us. So that one can kind of work both ways. But for the sake of argument, let's lump that in with the commandments that are about honoring God. But then the next six are about honoring others. Number five, honor your father and mother. Number six, do not murder. Number seven, do not commit adultery. Number eight, do not steal. Number nine, do not give false testimony. And number 10, do not covet another person or their possessions. Here's an observation. The first four teach us to honor God first before anything else. And the next six teach us that we are to honor others next before anything else. But did you notice that there is no mention in the Ten Commandments about honoring yourself? And that's because we should be focused on honoring God first above all else. And next we should be concerned with honoring others. And only after those two should we be concerned about honoring ourselves. And here's the caveat. If us as the church, if we are concerned, number one, about honoring God, number two, about honoring others, and we're doing that collectively together, and we're being obedient to that, then we never have to worry about honoring ourselves because we're already being honored because other people are honoring us because they're being obedient as well. This is God's priority list for believers. I mean, we could spend a whole lot of time just on that one concept, but that's for another sermon, I think. Prayer is transforming. God desires to change us through our prayers, but we have to be willing to think about things from His perspective instead of our own. I mean, remember, our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And here's the point in the message where I would normally give you some application. It's like, okay, based on everything that we've just talked about, how do I go and apply that to my life? And simply put, we need to pray. But let me give you guys some specific things that we can pray about. You may have noticed our lovely decoration on the stage today. In just a minute, I'm going to climb this ladder and illustrate some of these things that we're talking about. But before I do so, there are two gentlemen that I've asked to come and give me a hand. Could I get you two to come and come forward at this time? I want to climb this ladder, and pretty much these two guys are going to make sure I don't fall and break my neck. So, but as they're coming forward, I want to share with you a passage from Ephesians chapter 3. It says, "When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from His glorious unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through the Holy Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how deep, how high his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. You guys ready? All right. So, as we go through this prayer ladder, remember that these are some examples and prayers of what transformed and transforming people pray for. And I hope I've got this thing positioned well so everybody can see it. I did my best. But number one, starting here on the bottom rung and working our way up. Number one, pray for inner strength through the Spirit. Transformation is sometimes like forging metal. I mean, in order to shape the metal, rigorous heat and pressure have to be applied. And it is often very uncomfortable. And we go through seasons of our lives that are sometimes very uncomfortable. But the reason why we do that is because God is shaping us and he's molding us and he's turning us into a masterpiece. Scripture says that we are God's craftsmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. The Holy Spirit can give you strength as you are being transformed. Remember that we are caterpillars who are being transformed into butterflies. And so, number two, pray that Christ would make his home in people's hearts. Pray that Christ would make his home in people's hearts. In order for all of the junk to move out of our hearts, Jesus has to move in, right? In order for Jesus to move in, we have to remove all the junk. People are resistant to that. We like to hold on to our junk, don't we? I mean, we do. But junk is harmful to us. So pray that Jesus would make his home in our hearts. Believers and unbelievers alike, please pray for Christ to take up residence in people's hearts. Number three, pray that people would be connected to God through his love. Pray that people would be connected to God through his love. It's like when a tree takes root. I mean, a tree has to take root, doesn't it? Because if it does not, it doesn't survive. Because it needs to have roots in so it can gather nutrients. It has to have healthy roots so the wind doesn't come and blow it over. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. And just like how a tree cannot survive without taking root, so too we cannot spiritually survive if we do not take our root in Jesus Christ. Pray for people to be rooted in Christ and for believers who may need it to be rerooted in Christ. I think from this point forward, I'm just going to sit here. Is that okay? I think I can see my house from here. Number four, pray that people would understand the scope of God's love. When we understand the scope of God's love, and we realize its permanence, when we realize how permanent and how deep God's love is, and how the love of God is without end, and how infinite it is, nothing can separate from his love. And when we understand how wide, how long, how high, and how deep the love of God is when we start to gather confidence in our salvation. It's like, oh man, you know, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe he's the Son of God. You know, I've repented of my sins. I've been baptized, but man, I just don't know. Am I really saved? Yes, we are, because God's love is infinite and there is nothing that can separate us from God's love. And when we mess up, it makes it easier for us to approach God. It's like, man, you know, God, he's a judge. He's got a gavel in his hand. I don't know if I can come confidently before the Lord. We can, even when we make mistakes, because Jesus Christ loves us that much. Pray that people would understand the scope of God's love, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep. Number five, pray that people would experience the love of Christ. It's one thing to understand it, but it's another thing to experience it. And pray that people would experience the love of Christ. And if we don't experience it, we start to have doubt. And the devil works very hard to sow seeds of doubt so that we won't experience God's love. Pray that people would experience it. It's life-changing. And number six, pray that people would be filled with the fullness of God. This last one, this is a prayer of the highest kind. No pun intended. I'm glad some of you laughed at that. What this is asking God to pour himself into us, that he would pour into us his very presence, and that the Holy Spirit, which is his presence within us, would take complete control. And that's a scary prayer, because that means we have to let go of control and let him have control. But the amazing things that happen in our lives when he has control and we do not. Francis Foulkes says in response to this verse, he says that we may receive not any attribute of God or any gift of his, not love, not knowledge, not strength, alone or in combination, but that we would receive no less than the very highest that we can pray for, the full indwelling of God. And that is something that is beyond description and can only be identified when witnessed in someone else's life or experienced personally in our own lives. To be filled with the very fullness of God. Wow. How amazing that is. You guys need to know that prayer is powerful and can do amazing things. Prayer is transforming. God desires to change you through your prayers. And this ladder of prayer that we're talking about is just an example of things that a transformed and transforming person prays for. And the reason why we should pray things like this is because God wants to use you to help someone else transform. God wants to transform you so he can use you to help in somebody else's transformation. Do you know what our church's mission statement is? Our mission statement as a church, it's actually a really awesome mission statement. At FCC, we exist to win people to Christ, to grow them in Christ, and send them out on behalf of Christ, all for the glory of God. And part of growing in Christ is a continual transformation, something that doesn't just stop the moment we are baptized. It is something that continues on and on. It's like forging metal. We are continuously being put in the fire, pulled out of the fire, being shaped, just to get put back in the fire again, to be formed and shaped. And sometimes it is uncomfortable, but every time we emerge from the flames, we are an even more beautiful masterpiece than what we were the time before. Be transformed and allow God to send you out to help in someone else's transformation. And we started out talking about movies at the very beginning, so let's talk about some more movies. Have you guys seen any of the Transformers movies? I was like, we got one. The Transformer movies are really neat if you're into anything along those lines. And they're about these robots that go from having like a basic like human-like kind of form, and then they transform into something else. So if you can imagine something electronic or mechanical that something could transform into, the Transformers have probably done that, like a car, a truck, an airplane, a helicopter, anything along those lines. And the main character throughout these movies is a robot. His name is Optimus Prime. Optimus Prime is the main good guy. And every time him and his band of men, robots, are about to go off on an adventure, or they're about to go into battle, Optimus Prime says this phrase. He says, transform and roll out. Transform and roll out. As God's people, we should transform and roll out. And so my challenge to you today is transform and roll out. Can I give these two gentlemen a round of applause? You guys can go ahead and sit down. Thank you guys so much. And our elders can actually come forward at this time as well. I didn't tell them I was going to jump. Adrian Rogers has said, the same Jesus who turned water into wine can transform your home, transform your life, transform your family, and transform your future. He is still in the miracle working business, and his business is the business of transformation. Prayer is transforming, and God desires to transform you through your prayers. And it starts with changing the way you think, which means making our priorities the same as God's priorities. And our prayers should reflect that, because God wants to use us to help in someone else's transformation. What's at stake if we don't transform, if we don't take this seriously? What's at stake is that that could have a serious impact on someone else's transformation. Yes, your focus should be on lifting others up, but over time, you will change as well. We change when we continually encounter God on a relational level. And maybe, just maybe, we will begin to look like Moses, metaphorically speaking. I kind of freaked out if there's a bunch of glowing people walking around the church. But let us not cover up our transformation with a veil. But let us shine like a well-lit city on a hill, drawing people like a beacon to Jesus Christ. And you will look back on your life and see just how much God has changed you. And you will begin to see just how much God has blessed you. And so I say one more time, transform and roll out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for his death, his burial, his resurrection, God. Thank you for those world-changing events, that it's by the blood, by the body of Christ, that you have paid the penalty for our sins. You have washed that all away. And you raise us again to life, just like you did Jesus so many years ago when you rose him from the dead. But may our transformation, God, not stop there. May it be something that continues day to day, month to month, year to year, as our lives continue. And may we as a church take a look back and see, wow, this is what we used to look like. Look at what we look like today. God, you're awesome. Nothing is impossible with you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.